Isaac and sister Karina, their husband and wife, they go to the same church in Chile that brother Neri and brother and sister Abigail go to. So they're, they came up to visit them. So of course they'll be back, going back home with sister Abigail and brother Neri in 2 weeks when they go back to Chile. But he's a wonderful musician. Almost everybody in that church is a musician. He's a wonderful piano player and a wonderful, singer. So, ¿quieres decir algo, hermano? Okay. God bless you all. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Estamos muy contentos de conocerles.
And I'm very happy to meet you all,
pastor,
to meet your pastor and your co-pastor.
La verdad que se siente como en casa.
I feel like I'm at home.
El Espíritu de Dios.
The Spirit of God.
Y el de adentro dice amén.
And my inside man says amen to the word.
Vine con mi esposa Karina.
I came with my wife Karina.
Pasar unos días de descanso.
And we're here just vacationing a little bit.
Huir un poco del caos de Chile.
Regarding the chaos that's going on in Chile, that's why we try to leave, because there's a lot of turmoil going on right now in the country of Chile.
Así que compartir con ustedes ha sido una buena calma a mi corazón.
To be able to share these times with you has been a very great common time for me.
Yo nací en el mensaje en la iglesia del hermano Pedro Peralta.
I was born in the message. We attend the church, brother Pedro Peralta. He's the pastor.
Mi pastor le envía muchos saludos.
And my pastor sends each and every one of you lots of greetings.
Al pastor y a la congregación.
To brother Dale and to the congregation.
Él sabía que yo iba a estar acá.
He knew that I was going to be here. And so I want to share with you a little song for the glory of God.
Yeah. y se fundirán con la eternidad. A su nombre y a su majestad sea la gloria. Él es el Dios de mi salvación. No hay como Él. Él me formó con sus manos de amor. Yo le quiero adorar. Levanto mi voz con gratitud hacia su altar, pues merece toda la gloria y honor por toda la eternidad. Toda la gloria para el Señor, mi Dios, mi adoración es para Él, Rey de mi vida, exaltaré a quien me amó, es su gracia.
Isaac wrote that song. It's called My Source of Life. If you want a copy of it, I can send you a copy of it. He's got it in English. Somebody translated it for him. So.
Al entrar aquí, yo siento su presencia. Y yo sé que el amor abunda aquí. Porque este es el templo donde Dios habita. En tierra santa, en su presencia, parado estoy. En tierra santa, parado estoy, y sé que los ángeles están alrededor,
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap of praise once again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Praise God. I don't know. I appreciate Brother Isaac. Thank you, Brother Isaac. Gracias, hermano Isaac. Thank you, Sister Abigail. Thank you, Sister Karina, my wife, Sister Trudy, Brother, all of them here. They all did a wonderful job. Praise the Lord. Sister Rachel, were you going to do the, so we're going to have Sister Rachel come. I knew I wasn't going to have to sing so much today. We had plenty of specials. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing while they're getting ready. Let's just sing that chorus once again. We are standing on holy ground as they get ready. We are standing.
for praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank all the kids. That was beautiful. That was wonderful. Amen. Brother Mark, if you could come take up our offering at just right after they. Then we're going to get out of the way and let Brother Wade come. Amen. If you have your red books, let's turn it to page 49. It's the song "Revive Us Again," and with this song we're gonna have Brother Wade come. I'm not quite sure what key to sing it in, Sister Esther, but. We can try F. I don't. Let's stand to our feet. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now.
Gets up, you know, and they do the hallelujah, thine the glory. I don't know what in the world he was doing, but keeping time, I guess. But God bless you. Thank you. And boy, was that something. I don't know how you can translate this, but in the South, we said that was some singing. That was some singing right there now. That was, man. If that didn't stir your cup, well, Aaron's not here. What? If that don't stir your cup, your spoon fell out of your bowl. You know, we're the only people that know that we are standing on holy ground. 7 billion people in this world today don't have a clue what they're standing on. They just think that, well, some people think that, well, this just happened and we're here. Then some people do believe in a divine creator, and that's why we're here. But what purpose are we here for? They don't have a clue.
Right.
But we do. Amen. We know where we come from. We know what we're doing here, and we know where we're going. Amen. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you again for coming out. By way of announcement, let me go ahead and get this out of the way. Some of you weren't here this morning. No church this Wednesday. That will be Christmas Day. Next Sunday, Dad will be preaching both services. I'll be with Brother Chris Long at Brother Mike Ulte's in South Carolina. Also, there will be no Wednesday service the next week, January the 1st, because we will be having our probably number 40-something annual watch night service, which will start at 8 o'clock and conclude at midnight. Brother Chris will be preaching for us, and then we'll sing till midnight, take communion. Your sisters bring maybe some sweets, finger food, and we always have a good time. We usually get here about 6 o'clock or 6:30 somewhere before we have a service and eat and fellowship a little bit. But this is a new year coming up. This is actually a new decade.
Right.
This is not just a new year. It's a new decade. We never thought we'd be here at 2020, but we are, and we're here for a purpose.
Right.
Amen. So remember that. Also, January the 4th, which will be that next weekend, our youth Bible study will begin at 3 o'clock. We'll be having pizza. And Brother Nathaniel Green will be speaking for us for about 30 minutes. Then we're going to have our youth Bible study or questions and answers, whichever one you want to say. Regular Bible study will begin at 6, from 6 to 8. That'll be our normal Bible study, first Saturday of every month. All right, and then Brother Nathaniel will be staying over for that Sunday, and he'll be preaching the second service for us, which that is also Youth Sunday, so the youth will be conducting the services. All right. Also on January the 18th, Brother Aaron McGarry from Hickory, North Carolina, will be with us at the fellowship meeting. Fellowship meeting starts at 3:30, so we ask all of you to attend. You'll be getting your instructions of what to do and all that for food. So. And Brother Aaron will be staying over for that weekend with us. We never had him here before, but I've heard him a couple of times in Wichita, Kansas. Has a real good understanding of the message. It's real good, brother. So God bless you. Let's turn to the book of Psalms. And we'll continue our thought. Won't be very long today. We're just going to kind of go through and then bring a few things that we didn't this morning. Hope you enjoyed that this morning. We must understand, if we're going to have a revival, we better understand how to have one.
Right, right.
Amen. Because the world does not know anything about this revival. This revival will be, to them, it'll be silent.
Right, right.
But I thought the Bible says there's silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. You know why? Because the world don't know what's going on.
Right.
But you and I know what's going on.
Amen.
Amen. Psalms 85, verse 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. For all these wonderful singers, Lord, that you've sent our way, Father, we pray that you'd bless them. I know some are going back to another country, but Lord, it won't be long before we'll be able to converse together. We won't need an interpreter when we get in our glorified condition. We'll all hear as we're known. We won't need that. We'll all be able to fellowship. And Lord, touch each one that's traveling. Bless the ones that are not here. Bless the ones that are sick, all the requests that you've heard. Be with Joby's family, Lord, in the passing of him yesterday, Lord. He's been a long time in the community, a good friend. We pray that you just bless each one now, take care of us, lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. You have preeminence in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said again, God bless you, Brother Isaac, and your wife. Thank you for coming. If we keep you, we would, but you got to go back to where you... There you go. You have to wait a minute. Luis has to tell him what I said. So I still can't get this wrapped this around my brain. I go to the Philippines and we sing songs for 2 hours in English. And I have to have an interpreter when I preach. I told him, I said, if I just sing my sermon, do you need an interpreter? That'd be horrible. Anyway, the song's 85. I don't need any amens to that. Okay? That was just a thought. Okay? That was just a thought. All right, let's get started. But no, listen, we're the only people, like I said, that know where we came from, what we're doing here, and where we're going. All right, And then we see that many things are happening in the message, but there is going to be a promised revival. But it will be an individual revival. It will not be worldwide. It may not even be community-wide. But it's going to be in your world. Your own world. You're going to have a revival like no one else has had before. Because you got to have a revival that's going to take you into a body change. All the rest of them was not required that. All right, Psalms 85:1. To the chief musician, the Psalms for the son of Korah. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Now remember, this is David and the Jewish community. They didn't fall away from being Jews. They fell away from what? The commandments of God. Alright? They'd fallen away from the commandments of God. Because a revival is not to change them into a different person. They were always Israel, but God is trying to, what? Do away with their sin, get them to realize that He's done away with their sin, and then watch what He says. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Because without a revival, there are no rejoicing. What are you going to rejoice over? Yes, I'm a Christian. Well, that's not going to get you in a body, take a body change. That's going to get you in heaven, no problem. But that's not our requirement. Our requirement is to go on further.
Amen.
Amen? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. All right, let's read 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 through 16. If my people, who are called by my name. We're the only people that know the right name.
Amen.
And how to call on Him. And know who He is. And know where He is. I want us to hone in on this. I want us to know that this is talking about me and you.
Glory.
Sitting in this building today. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. See what causes a revival? Humble thyself. Pray. Seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house. Like I said before, this house. Not this building, this house. That my name may be there forever and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. You may be seated in the Lord at His blessing. To the reading of the word. Now this morning we were talking about, just for a minute of background, we were talking about, pull the screen up on the Hebrew lexicon. A revival is not talking about resurrection. A revival is talking about what you already have, that God will quicken what you already have. Because He cannot quicken non-seed or non-word.
Right.
There's nothing to quicken. That's a direct quote from Brother Branham in the Church Age book. But look, this says to live. Have life. Remain alive. It does not say and get life.
Right.
You already have life. But you're doing something to that life that you already have.
Amen.
As I said this morning, I hope and pray you realize maybe you don't have life and you can get life.
Right.
Amen? But that would be a resurrection, not a revival. A resurrection is you got to die and Christ come and live in you and resurrect you in heavenly places.
Right.
So that you can walk in the light of the Lord. But then, as we walk on, even Jesus Christ, we were talking this morning downstairs, even Jesus Christ had to grow in grace and knowledge. You and I have to grow. Sure, that baby Jesus was wonderful laying in that manger, in that feed trough. But He did us no good staying in the feed trough. He had to grow in grace and knowledge. His body had to grow up. He had to grow to where He knew who He was. I don't think at 5 years old He knew who He was. He didn't have to.
Right.
It wasn't His time. You remember the Bible. All through the Bible it says His time had not come yet. His time had not come yet. He had a time. You and I have a time. There's a time for everything.
Right.
Not for all things, but to all things, remember. Sustain life. Live prosperously. Live forever. be quickened, be alive, be restored to life and health, to continue in life and remain alive. So reviving, as the song says, revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. Now that doesn't mean that you need a new birth. It means that you need a refilling.
Amen.
Amen. There's many refillings. This is all refillings. We need many refillings. Bob and I were talking a few minutes ago. You know, you're talking about the mechanics and dynamics. Everybody's thinking, we need the dynamics. Where's the dynamics? We need the dynamics. You know, you can have mechanics and dynamics. You can have mechanics and dynamics. But where's Neri? Let me have your car keys. I'm going to give it to your daughter. Your car keys. Where'd you? It's not. Oh, it's Luis's car. Okay. It's Luis. Yeah. Well, yeah. Where's your daughter? Where's your daughter at? Well, that was a horrible example given. Okay, let's rewind. Cut that tape off. Let's start all over again. You see what I'm saying? There's a car sitting in the driveway out there full of gas, which is what? The dynamics is the spark, but give the keys to a baby. Disaster. Disaster. That's what God's waiting on. He's waiting on us to be mature enough to be able to work with the power that he's giving us. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So everybody can be shouting mechanics, dynamics, but we got to put a mature person behind the wheel.
Right.
Amen? That's why God's not going to get... Listen, if Brother Brown said, you've got enough power inside of you, if you've got the new birth, to create a world and go live on it.
Right.
Amen?
Because
that's the same eternal life that said, let there be, Brother Larry. The same eternal life you got today is the same eternal life that stood in nothing and said, let there be this, and let there be that, and let there be this, and let there be that. But you are what? You're withholding from that because you might make a mistake as a human. God didn't make a mistake. But you might make a mistake with that power that you got inside of you. That's why Brother Brown said, there's a bar. What's the bar? The bar is maturity. But now when we come to full maturity, Jesus walked out of the tomb and he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Why? He had to go through a process. He had to grow up just like we did. He was Almighty God, but he had to grow in that human body. So what is this revival? This revival, I believe, is going to tell us it's an individual revival. So what it's going to do is it's going to help us all grow up. Car sitting there. The message of the hour is the car. Hello. The message of the hour is the car. Got plenty of power. Got plenty of gas and can spark if you got the right person to stick the key in and turn the key. You don't want to do that. You know what disaster would be? Because you know what? You can let a kid, they can stick keys in the ignition and they can turn it. But Lord, don't let them drive, Nyla. I put Nyla in my car one day at my house and I said, we're going to Nanny's. I said, okay, just ease it out. Ease it out of my driveway and go toward Nanny's house. Go this way. She goes, okay, reverse. We go that way. Almost to the railroad track. I said, stop. She hits the accelerator. Nyla, I'm sorry, but that's what happened, isn't it? You can't see her face getting red, so she's okay. But you see what a disaster that was? Now, look, she was an adult almost, but she wasn't trained. Had the complete power to drive that car,
right,
maybe in the right direction, but she didn't have the training. Folks, this 50-something years, this has been training.
Right. Amen.
We've had the Holy Ghost.
Right.
We've had the Holy Ghost since 1906 Azusa Street. We've had the Holy Ghost come, and we've had it tell us, and then a prophet comes, and he takes and just opens the book for us. And gives us this message. But what have we done? 50 years we've been going.
Uh-huh.
50 years we've been sucking our thumb going, Lord, help me. Pastor, save my children.
Yeah.
We can't be Catholics. God wants us to be men and women, adults, even you young kids with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the right teaching. You can become adults in God. What is this revival for? Brother Brown said revival comes from you. We're going to read it in a minute. And it comes from when you're fed up with you. Now, you can't find that in a quote, but that's what Brother Brown says. Look, when the children of Israel were fed up for where they were fed up. Oh, yeah, they'd been there for a few years, and they was okay until about year 350-something. Moses, you know, then Moses comes on the scene. Then he had to wait another 40 years. Moses had to go back to the desert. Amen? So let's take this revival, and like I said before, Brother Brown said revival comes with prayer. Sometimes also with fasting. And what happens is we catch the sinner, which is okay. They come under conviction and we catch the sinner and the sinner comes in. And then there's sometimes a healing campaign going on. But remember, a revival though is revive what you already have. So that God can see that you can handle the word. That you can drive the car though the mechanics be there and the dynamics and the ability to turn the key. It takes me and you, but what does it take? It takes reading, praying, studying, coming to church and doing the things. You got to do Bible things first. Folks, we got to do Bible stuff first. If we do Bible stuff first, Brother Brown did not come to change the Bible. He did not come to make the Bible less effective. I believe he came to make it more effective. He came to open what? Not just a book. Because what's a book? A book's you. You're the book he was opening. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. What? To read. To see. He didn't write a new Bible. But Brother Branham said the Bible became a brand new book. Why? He was reading with a mature set of eyes. I like that. With a mature set of eyes. Now let's go to Hosea 6 verse 1. Let's read a little bit more from this morning. We'll skip some of the quotes. I want to get to this part about revival. Hosea 6 1. Come, let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Listen, God will do nothing to a child that doesn't help them. He cannot do anything to hurt you. You may hurt yourself. He may make you realize that you are hurt. But God, listen, God can't hurt you. You understand what I mean? Satan hurts you. But God don't hurt his own children. Why? Well, he walked up and he says, what a father would give the kid would cry for a piece of bread and you give him a stone? Cry for a fish and you give him a scorpion? That's not God. That's the devil. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. Listen, I love his omnipotence because he knows what we need. But there's one thing for sure. We have a free moral agency. Somebody asked the other day, Brother Russ called me. He said, Brother Wade, I can't get this out of my head. He said, Brother Branham and your dad's been talking about God waiting on you and I. Remember he says that in the adoption series. God's waiting on you and I adoption time where he can fill us with his fullness. God's waiting on us. Right. You know why he's waiting on us? Waiting on us? Because he can't go over our free moral agency. Right. There's your answer to the question. Because you think, oh, listen, see, this would be us, Jeannie. This would be us. We're God. You're going to do what I said anyway. I'm going to make you do it. God can't do that. Right. He can't make you do something and be a just God. He can't do that. That's so he's waiting on you and I to what? He can't override our free moral agency. Right. Brother Brown, man, I love what he says about the Holy Ghost. He's a timid person. He's a gentleman. Right. He'll knock on your door, but he'll not knock your door down. Right. Do you know why? Because that would be making you do something. Right. But see, when we do it out of love for God, that's much greater than him making us do something. Right. Amen? So he can't override our free moral agency. So God is waiting on me and you. Now he knows the day you're going to going to come to adoption. He knows the day we're going to get out of here. And he knows all that. But he's not going to tell you. He's going to wait and let you call on him. That's what the children of Israel did. Finally, one day, 400 years or 300 and something years after they were in bondage, they finally said, God, send us a deliverer. Send us somebody to get us out of this. In other words, you could go back in the scrolls and say, God, you promised. You promised our father Abram that we'd be down here 400 years and it's coming up. Remember Jeremiah. Jeremiah's the same way. Jeremiah comes and prophesies. God through Jeremiah says, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. But I'm going to bring you out with a mighty hand. Amen. And then here's Jeremiah coming up. And we see that he wrote that prophecy. And then here Daniel was in that prophecy. 68 years, the prophet said. He had already been in bondage in Israel. And he wanted to know what was going to happen when he got out. But we'll talk about that in a minute. He will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days... After, what's the day to God? 2,000 years. After 2,000 years, he will revive us. Right. You say, well, Brother Wade, he didn't... No, he's revived people all along, but the revival that you and I have going to come to is different. It's a word revival. Right. I'm talking a complete word revival. Luther had a word revival, but it was just on one scripture.
Right.
The just shall live by faith. All the other things, he could smoke a pipe, drink a beer. You can't do that. Why? Because we progressed on up further in the word.
Right.
Amen? But Luther could do that because he lived by one word, one sentence. The just shall live by faith. Then Wesley comes in and says, okay, we'll take that and we're going to add to now. You can't go to the pub and drink and smoke. You got to sanctify yourself through the Methodists. And then we see he came on up into the Pentecostals. But after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up. Now, obviously, that's our day.
Right.
We're in that day right there. If you want to know this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Right there it is.
Right.
And we shall live in his sight. Everybody fine with that? Say amen. So now I'm going to read this quote. Now, we didn't have it up on the screen. Excuse me. On it is a rising of the sun. I love this quote because you see what Brother Brown says. You got it on there? Yeah, there it is. Okay, thank you. There was the first sheaf come up from all the prophets, which was the Son of God, the King of Prophets. There's been churches, brides. Churches, brides. But there has got to come one. Hallelujah. One.
Glory.
There has to come a real bride. Not that all those other brides were false, but those other brides didn't have enough word to carry them to a change of the body.
Exactly.
We have that now.
Glory.
There must come one that's not only got the mechanics, but the dynamics of it, makes that church live, move in the power of his resurrection. Until we come to that, until we find that place, what good does it do to polish the hubs?
Right.
And like I said this morning, most people don't know what simonize is. But all of us older people, I had them raise their hand this morning who all know what simonize. Because it was the name of a wax.
Right.
Simonize.
Right.
And you'd have to wax your whole car and you'd have to wait till it gets all dusty and then you would rub it off and you'd look at it and you'd go, oh man, I missed a spot. Because you could tell it. But that's what he's talking about. What have we done? We've window dressed this message. Dress, hair, clothes, do this, don't do that. We've window dressed it. When we've missed the power behind it. But now, sure, we've had healings. A lot of you were born again during Brother Branham's time and then on further into this time. So don't tell me God's not working. God's working. Okay? But he's wanting us to leave this place because we're not in the 2 days. We're in the third day.
Right.
What does it good to give her a facelift or a simonized job when there's no dynamics in it? No matter how much the mechanics prove to be right, there has got to be dynamics to make it work. So now when we realize where we're at and realize that dynamics is here, along with the mechanics, it's like I said this morning, some preacher was telling me, he said, well, these people that think they've got the third pull and they think they've got the revelation of the seven seals, he said they're adulterers and they live like dogs, and a lot of them do, but I said, there's a truth. Not everybody's going to have the truth. How many people had the truth in Jesus' day? One person. Him. And they called him a devil. Amen? One person. Jesus had it right. Now, a few years later, on the day of Pentecost, there's 120 had it right. Amen? Listen to this. Let's go to the next one. God of this evil age. It is now, watch. It is that both engaged brides, look, both engaged brides believe Satan's knowledge against God's word. The bride of Adam believes Satan's knowledge against God's word. And the bride of Christ. Listen, folks, down through 2,000 years, it doesn't matter. You can call them whatever you want to, but they were message believers for their time. They had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Even during that 1,500 years of dark ages, right, when they did nothing but confess, I'm a Christian, and they got their heads chopped off. Right. That was God. Right. They are going to be there. We're going to be able to converse with them because they are believers. They are message believers.
Right. Amen.
So we're not belittling anybody, but look, they're gone. There's no way they can help us physically to get out of here. Only live people.
Yeah.
Now, I hope you understand that. It's a live message. It's a live ministry.
Right.
The bride of Christ has believed Satan's knowledge. Good grief. Sure he did. Luther. Jesus Christ never preached a Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism.
Right.
Jesus never stood and said, there's an eternal hell. He never stood and said, I and my Father are three. Did he? But now, the bride, down through the ages, did. Because of their own theology, God winked at their ignorance because the book was closed. And they couldn't see all the truth. Now you and I can't do that. The bride of Christ has believed Satan's knowledge in this intellectual evil age against God's word. And notice, even the natural that believed it and plunged the whole human race to death. The natural bride. Adam, the natural man of the earth. His bride, before he got to her to be wife, plunged the whole human race into death. Whether it's scientific or not. What we're talking about this morning. People trying to scientifically prove the clouds wrong and all this stuff. Don't pay attention to that. It's worthless.
Right.
Worthless. It really does not even have a... It's not a salvation issue anyway. William Branham opened this Bible to me through him, like Brother Mike was talking about. He was that pipe that God pushed the water through.
Right.
And you know where that water went?
Right.
To me.
Amen.
You got to say it went to you, but it went to me.
Right.
So I don't care if the pipe was rusty.
Right.
I don't deal in that peripheral stuff. It didn't do Israel any good. Like I said this morning, they got a cloud. They got fire. They got water out of a rock. They got manna out of heaven every day. Three times a day. And it had everything they needed. They didn't have to go to the grocery store with a list. I got to get greens today, and I got to get fish tomorrow, and I got to get... No, they got manna. God give them free food. And they complained. They loathed it. Remember, they walk out and go, I don't want this no more. Well, they asked for something and they got it, but God gave them something besides quail.
Right.
But you know what? You don't do that to God.
Right.
You don't take all that God gives you and then you want more. Like that. They were murmuring and complaining. Don't you ever complain to God.
Right.
You ask God. There's an approach to God. You ask Him about things. Who are we to question our Creator?
Right.
No. All things work to good to them that love the Lord. Maybe you're not in that group. God don't have to take care of the devil's kids. He takes care of his own kids. Amen. Whether you're in Holy Eden, I'm not going to charge you for that one. Whether it's scientific or not, we die just the same because God said we would. Whether you're in Holy Eden, our holy church, our holy denomination, or whatever it might be, you'll die the day you disbelieve one word of God's word to be the truth. When it's vindicated and proved to you. That's the day you separate yourself from God. Not just a whole sentence. One word.
Amen.
Whosoever shall add one word or take one away, that's the day you die.
Right.
Now let's skip on and see. That, no, let's read number two. Because I want to get to something right here. When you see these crowds gathering, that doesn't mean revival. So we're going to set this up. For those of you that weren't here this morning, we'll tell you what. A revival in the world. The world is looking, and I've got a little commentary down here at the end. I may read it. Where this guy, and he's a nominal guy, they're looking for a revival. A sweeping revival that God's going to come in and just take care of all this that we got wrong and going to take us away from here. That's not what this is.
Right.
The bride's revival is a silent revival. The bride's revival is a revival of person.
Right.
Person.
Right.
But listen, you got to be right. That's why he's not at a denomination right now. Right. Is because they have a false word. When you see these crowds gathering, that doesn't mean revival. That's just a gathering. But a revival is when people get really right with God and pray through and starts a revival throughout the city and everything. They put away sin, put away their iniquity, turn to God, turn around, start back again. In other words, down the road. Now let's read number three. Brother, I feel real good about it anyway. What this church needs today is a good revival. Not a new doctrine. Not a new order. Just a stirring up of what you already know about.
Already.
Listen, what we know right now can change the world.
Right.
But you better get the change first. Because it's not going to the world. Number four. Now, a minister cannot bring a revival. There's no preacher can bring a revival. He doesn't pack it or carry it with him. And the only thing he can do is just be loyal to God and his word. And the revival has to come by the people. In your home, in your life. Now, revival isn't adding new members to the church. It's reviving that what's already, we've already got.
Right.
To revive means to bring back. All right, let's go to number five. Believest thou this, 1951. What we need today is an old-fashioned God-sent revival. Clean up the home. Clean up the heart. Get things ready. Start a revival in your home and it'll begin at church.
Right.
Oh, boy. Amen. Preacher, don't bring it in his briefcase. I wish we could. God sends it from heaven to the individual.
Right.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's go to number six. Mothers of old, they love and raise their kids. But oh, this modern America today, what we're living in now, I tell you, our nation is simply polluted. There's not a hope left to this nation as I see. You know, we hunt with some nominal Christian guys, I guess you may call them that. But every time they pray for this country. They pray for the Democrats, and they pray for the Republicans, because they're all Republican. And they pray that God will help this, and that's okay. I mean, I'm not going to stop them in the middle of the prayer and say, no, bless God, Brother Brown said, you can't do that. But in my heart, I'm like, it's a wasted prayer. It is. God's not going to bring this nation back. He's already condemned it. We can pray for individual people, but not the nation. There's not a hope left for this nation. That's 1956. Remember, he said this year would be the year whether they brought it in or turned it down. Well, anyway, they turned the revival down. 1956. Lord, that's been a long time ago. Only an old-fashioned revival, and according to the scripture, it'll never be nationwide.
Amen.
So then we're just left. It'll be a revival among the people. Now look, comma, the elect of God,
right.
Not everybody that sits in the church pew.
Right.
But it won't be a real sweeping revival, take the whole nation in, never was, never will be. Right. All right, everybody got that? Say amen. All right, let's go to Genesis 15. Just for a second, we're going to look. Now, what happened was, let's read this one. Yeah, no, go back to that one. I missed that one. I'm sorry. Go back to 7. There are more. Oh, there it is. I got another page. Let's go down to the bottom. The bride hasn't had a revival yet.
Right.
Everybody got that? Bride hasn't had a revival yet. All right? There's been no revival there, no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet. Yet we've seen signs and wonders. In this church, we've seen the dead raised, the sick healed, cancer go away. We've seen guns brought back. If Brother Colley was here, we've seen purses wherever. Well, Amy's not here, but anyway, we've seen God do things in this, just in this little assembly. Rain be called for, rain stop. We've had all that. Storm be spoken away. We've seen that.
Glory.
But we've not been woke up according to the Brother Branham. You know why? Because it's a word revival.
Right.
Brother Dale's preaching on anointed ones. Anointed ones can do every bit of that.
Right.
Do you know for a fact Judas Iscariot cast out devils
right.
through the name of Jesus?
Right.
Did many mighty wonders right. in the name of Jesus? Judas Iscariot,
right.
the one that betrayed Jesus,
Amen.
Had signs and wonders so good till they didn't know. It actually deceived the other 11.
Right.
Because even at the night, I've been reading, I'm in the book of John. When they're in the upper room, Jesus said, John, the one laying on his bosom, said, Lord, who is it? He said, the one I sopped the cup with. Well, he reaches, the Bible says, and sops it in Judas's cup.
Right.
And says, go do what you need to do. Well, even the Bible in the commentary, John, it shows the commentary. It says, in other words, we thought he was just going to go pay for the food that we were eating. He had them so deceived.
Right.
They didn't know what he was fixing to go do.
Right.
What about today?
Right.
We're looking for it. It will take those 7 unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. I believe we heard them. You may, listen, I have. You may not have. That's for you to decide.
Right.
Because it's the total plan of redemption revealed to you. And that's what the thunders are. It's not 7 men. It's not polygamy. It's not getting 7 wives. Why do they do that? Lord. It will take those 7 unknown thunders back there to what? Wake her up.
Right.
Okay? He will send it. He promised
Amen.
It. Now, if you believe William Brown to be a prophet, which I do wholly, I believe what he said. If he prophesies, if he tells us something, just like the other day I was telling somebody, you know, when Brother Branham stood up, like 1960 I think it was, he stood up and he said, those denominational churches have become lodges. Now folks, we went to one not too long ago. And it's just like going to like an Odd Fellow or whatever you want, Elks Club. You know why? Because Brother Branham spoke it. That's just what I believe. He spoke they were lodges back in the 60s. They can't get away from that.
Right.
Why would you think a prophet in 1956 would say if they don't receive God this year,
right.
He said she's gone. Now what was that? That was the word of God through a prophet.
Right.
They're lodges, so they're lodges. They're not coming back.
Right.
The people are good. But the lodges, it's full of dead men's bones. But the bride hasn't had a revival yet. Excuse me. Look at number 8 and 9 and then we'll go forward. He's talking about the full gospel people would come one heart and one accord. There'd be a revival that would shake the whole world. Every spiritual gift would be in the church within an hour's time after it took place. Signs and wonders that was done by the apostles would be a minor thing.
Right.
Now this is 1948. And Brother Branham steps up in about 10 years from that and he says, there's been more people healed in my ministry than in my ministry in one night than Jesus had his whole 3.5 years.
Right.
That's what he was feeling. He felt, listen, being a prophet, he felt a lot of things coming.
Right.
Amen? I believe he did. He's a prophet. He was prophetic. He could see. He was an eagle.
Right.
That would shake the whole world. Well, that was his revival.
Yep.
The healing revival that Brother Branham started shook the world.
Right.
Signs and wonders that was done by the apostles would be a minor thing to what we'd do if we could just get the church together.
Right.
It's got to happen. It will happen. It may be after I've passed off the scene, but I want to put my word in this that you might know that my voice is this. Oh, Christian people, bind yourself together with one heart and one accord. For God cannot no more send the gifts to the church until the church, while the church is separated. Look at the people in the message. And I'm just going to name them. One group's in Jeffersonville. They don't have nothing to do with nobody else if you don't just go to that place. Or if you just listen to tapes. I'm just going to name them all. Then you got another place over here that says, if you don't believe that you got two souls, you're out. Then you got another one over here that says, believe if you don't have this. You see what I mean? How in the world? Is God that confused? This message is perfect. Man has got in it and messed it up. But until we get everything back together, God's not going to send a revival. He can't. I got a quote I'm saving, but Brother Brown says, God can't go to a denomination and make a revival because they don't have the word. Because we're looking now for a word revival. We're not looking for great signs and wonders. We're looking for a word revival. A revival of the word when Jesus stood and said, I and my Father are one. You're going to have to hear me. You know, that was pretty good that Jesus said, you're going to have to hear me to have eternal life. Paul said the same thing. Brother Brown said the same thing. You'll be judged by my gospel. But watch. For God cannot no more send the gifts to the church while the church is separated. We got divisions, factions, these places in this country that there's a church right here and 200 feet down the road there's another message church and they don't speak to each other. I know that for a fact. Okay? Because this church preaches something about marriage and divorce that people don't like. How are we going to get it together? We got to do it individually first. We got to get it right. But our problem is we look at all these peripheral things.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Clouds. And doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. We solely must put our faith on the Word of God.
Right.
And the prophet of God give us divine revelation of that Word.
Yeah.
And man, I'm telling you, if he didn't have a vindication... There's no man was more vindicated than him except Jesus Christ. No man. Because we're going to read it in a minute. No man. Then he can send, look, for God can no more send the gifts to the church until the church is, while the church is separated. Then he can send the Holy Ghost. Then he can, let me get that right. For God cannot no more send the gifts to the church while the church is separated. Then he can send the Holy Ghost unless you're in one accord. That's right, for it came by the Holy Ghost. Believe it. Look, verse number 9. Faith won't deliver the saints, 1953. That's the reason we can't have a revival. You got to get back to God's faith again in the Bible, where men and women become born again and regenerated by the Holy Ghost. Then that man can't help from being a Christian. He's a Christian by birth. That's right. Now, that's not natural birth. That's the new birth. You don't have to pledge him. Give him a card. In other words, beg him to come to church. Go visit him every Sunday or two if he don't show up. Just shows one thing. Not born again. If he's born again, brother, you almost have to bar the door to keep him out. Amen. You've got the cart before the horse, brother. That's what's the matter. You've got to get Christ first. Instead of the church, you've got to put Christ first. That's what we need today. That's what America needs today. That's what the whole nation, the whole world needs today is an old-fashioned revival stirring, God-sent revival. Everybody okay with that? That's your prophet telling you what his, that's his example. And I'm going to skip through this so we don't have, I'll read it next Sunday. Because there was a revival during Daniel's time. There was a revival during Nehemiah's time. There were certain revivals that came up. There was a revival. Listen, there was a revival when John the Baptist came on the scene. It was reviving them from the old to the new. Amen? All right. Now, Jesus really wasn't a revival. It was a resurrection. He was trying to get people born again. He was trying to give them the doctrine to be born again so that they could have a revival. And then they had a revival in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. They had a resurrection, but what did it do? It revived what they heard from Jesus. It quickened what they had heard from God. And like a brother said the other day, now we got people in the message. See what I mean? You got people in the message that believe that the apostles had the Holy Ghost before Jesus died.
Right.
Find me a quote on that one. It's not in the Bible, because my Bible says in the book of John about chapter 7, it says they didn't understand what Jesus said. Why? Because the Holy Ghost had not been given yet, because Jesus had not been glorified.
Right. Exactly.
How can you get the Holy Ghost when the man standing there had it in him?
Right.
And he said, go to the upper room and you will receive power, be endued with power from on high.
Right.
Folks, I'm telling you, if they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost and let that happen, that happened to Jesus, if they'd let that happen? No. No, they'd have called fire down out of heaven. But see, they couldn't do that. Even Jesus himself, being the Holy Ghost, submitted himself so much to the cross till he didn't use any of his power. None at all. You know what? He saved it for me and you. He saved it for us. For us to use. All right, I want to go through this real quick, and then we'll stop. And then we'll back up a little bit. But I want you to see that a revival, listen, a revival begins when people start calling out for it, and they're tired of the shape they're in.
Right.
They're tired of the things that's going on around them.
Amen.
Israel got tired of all that.
Right.
The people got tired of all these things. The people were crying out for a deliverer. They weren't crying out, though, at first.
Right.
When there were no taskmasters. When they could just eat of the ground and kill them a calf and, you know. But when what? When Egypt or the world started tightening up, they said, we need to get out of here. Abram said, we got a promised land we're going to go to. You and I have a promised land we got to go to. Amen? All right, let's look. There was five. I want you to see this. Every characteristic of a revival starts the same. All right? Let's go to the, there was five awakenings starting in 1730. You got to go up to all the way over to where it says first great awakening of Brother Anderson. Bob? Oh, Lord. Okay. Here we go. Bob's my buddy. First great awakening was in 1730. Now look, when you see these dates, this is not from Brother Branham. This is a commentary that I got off of the internet. I read several of them, and this was pretty close to what I needed. First Great Awakening was 1730 to the 1740s. Where? England and then the colonies, most notable Massachusetts. What? Churches are lax in their requirements for church participation and membership. You see that word lax? That's what we've become. Lackadaisical. Churches are lax in their requirements for church participation and membership. It is called the halfway covenant, and it allowed children of non-believing parents to still be baptized in good faith that they'd be reared with the morals of the church. Huh? God makes a halfway covenant? You know who made that covenant, don't you? It wasn't God. And it allowed children of non-believers to be baptized in good faith that they'd be reared with the morals of the church. And that did not happen. Remember that church membership is voluntary, which creates a challenge for what is truth. And the function of infant baptism as an ushering into wider community citizens. You see what they took? They took from the Catholic Church. And they still went to sprinkling the babies. Water baptism, infant baptism. We know that's not right. Who did it? All right. Jonathan Edwards is well known for his Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God and so many other well-crafted expository sermons that emphasize the rational appeal for faith. Now this is, they're coming out into a revival. Look who, now that, they spelled his name wrong. It's not John Weasley. They may have pronounced it John Wesley, but it's John Wesley. Now, we know through the prophet of God who John Wesley was. He was the church age messenger for that time. All right? He was greatly influenced by John Locke. John Wesley, thank you. Get it, Bob. I don't know if there's a copyright on that or not. You better be careful. John Wesley, Charles Wesley, and George Whitefield, we've heard all these names in the message, are several other instrumental leaders. John Wesley begins the Methodist movement. His brother Charles gives its music, writing 6,000 hymns. Whitefield begins an orphanage in Savannah. Do you know that? You know, actually, John Wesley come across from England and resided in Savannah for a long time trying to convert the Indians. Remember, and then as Brother Dale tells us, he's going back to England and he meets the Moravian people that have sanctification down better than he does. But what happens is God has to mold with John Wesley. He can't mold with the Moravians because he's not going with a group. He's got to have one messenger for a church age. All right, so that's why Brother Brown chose John Wesley, begins the Methodist movement. Whitefield begins an orphanage in Savannah, and it is still there, and preached to nearly 1 million people throughout the colonies. How? Through the local teaching of Edwards and the traveling ministry of Whitefield, starting in Georgia, worked up through Massachusetts, the colonial people are convicted of their sins and renewed of their need for Jesus. And then what happens? From 1740 to 1820, go to the next one. From 1740 to 1820, it goes back down again. They get lax. The moral fabric of society, this is 1820 to 1850. The moral fabric of society is tattered, torn by sin and misplaced affections. That's a real nice way to put that. Misplaced affections. They were sinners. The desire to usher in the second coming of Jesus by saving society provides the strongest impetus to make certain thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Who started it? Well, here's the guy Brother Brown talks about, Charles Finney. Charles Finney offers a fiery message of repentance in the big tents constructed for meetings lasting weeks and weeks. He institutes the crying bench where he invites those renewing or professing faith to proceed down front and make a public commitment to Jesus. The awakening theology is clear in Finney. Jesus calls everyone, and anyone can heed the call. Finney helps to establish the Oberlin College as well. How? Whereas the first great awakening works itself through the church, the second will appeal to anyone and everyone. You see, when that first awakening came, there was a big influence of the Catholic Church. Everybody had to go, still do. Infant baptism come from Catholic. But you see how this is coming out. Whereas the first great awakening itself worked through the church, the second worked to anyone and everyone. That's what I'm telling you now. God is now working through us, individuals. Amen? He's not called a Methodist church in the end time. He's not called a Branham Church. You understand what I'm saying? He's called the Church of the Living God. His children in the end time. It brings about the temperance movement. Now that temperance is not that temperance. That temperance is the alcohol movement. They try to do away with alcohol. The anti-slavery movement, as well as the Underground Railroad, women's rights, the Salvation Army. You see what a revival does? It brings thoughts to people. All right, watch. The YMCA sees mighty growth in the Baptist and Methodist denominations. All right, let's go to the third one, which is 1875 to 1885. Where did it start? In Chicago. You know where this is going, Dwight Moody. I want you to see how many people Dwight Moody preached to. The Civil War ends in 1865, and with the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, the vulnerability of humanity is clear. This backdrop provides the opportunity for many to see their need for Christ. In other words, what happened? Chicago was wiped out. They needed somebody to come in. They needed God to come in and help them up. Watch. D.L. Moody begins a Bible study for street children in the 1850s. It grows to a substantial number whereby even President-elect Abraham Lincoln attends to see it for himself. Now, this is one guy, Dwight Moody. Right. Moody goes on to establish Moody Church and Bible Institute, and is still there, and continues to preach all around the country to more than 100 million people. Ira Sankey, a notable hymn writer, works closely with Moody. How? Moody is uneducated and breaks out of the normal conventions of the church. The appeal is simple. Jesus wants you the way you are, and come to him now because he's coming back soon. All right, now look at the next one. We are all familiar with this one. the Azusa Street Revival, 1906 to 1915 in Los Angeles in the church at 312 Azusa Street. You know what? Somebody was at work for me a long time ago at McDonald's was from Azusa, California. You know what Azusa means? There's everything in that city from A to Z in the USA. A-Z-U-S-A. There was everything, she said, in that city. What happened on Azusa Street sparks what we know today as the Pentecostal movement. It is built on the holiness movement, which focuses on sanctification, being noticeably separated from the habits of the world, and is a repercussion of the Second Great Awakening. On April the 9th, 1906, the Spirit of God falls down and several people begin speaking in tongues. They call it the second blessing or sometimes the third work of grace, the first being salvation, the second being sanctification. Who started it? You have to have somebody to come in the forefront. Right. William Seymour. Daddy Seymour is front and center from the disciples of the Charles Fox Parham of Topeka, Kansas, and the influence of the Evening Light Saints or Church of God in Anderson, Indiana. Seymour sometimes prays for 7 hours a day. That's how you get a revival started. For months on end, not just come in and say one day, I prayed for 7 hours yesterday. No. Months on end. With an expectation that God would act in His timing. How? The revival helps integrate the church into a more harmonious, unified community, bringing together rich and poor, black and white, male and female. Humanism is beginning to take root with all of its... with all its Superman thoughts of the future glories of society. The Azusa Revival and subsequent Pentecostal movement brought back into focus the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the unique place of the church as God's institution in the world to do His bidding. And there's a quote where Brother Brown says, he's talking about around the turn of the century, why did God bring, and this is the last one, the 20th century revival, and they don't have Brother Branham in there, but there's no doubt he was. But what I'm telling you is there was, I said this before and I'm going to say it one more time. When man come to a place in the, at the end of the coming into the 1900s, cancer and all these horrible diseases were coming about and man had no cure. Science had not caught up with the disease. The disease had went past the science. Man, all they could do for you, and you it's kind of crazy, but they would bleed you. They'd bleed you to try to get the bad blood out of you. Probably killed a lot of people. But you see, it was the ignorance of the people. Well, what happened was, Brother Ram said, Christians started to call out to God. I love that. Christians started to cry out to God and say, God, man can't do this. Science cannot heal me. God, You're the one that's going to have to do it. See, that's our problem. We get a little sick. Go to CVS. Yeah. Go to the doctor. Go to quick care. Yeah. Go there a couple of times. It ain't quick and you might get cared for. But you know that, but that's why God's waiting. God knew that was going to happen before the foundation of the world. He knew man was going to get sick. He knew. But He let man start crying out to God. Instead of God just coming down and saying, oh, you're sick, I'm going to heal you. I wish. Sometimes I do. But at the turn of the century, science did not catch up with the disease, so God sent a healing campaign. Right. And I love what Brother Brown, the angel told Brother Brown, said, everything will be subject to you. And then he says, even, why did he break out cancer? Because that was the dreaded disease. Right. You heard the word cancer, you died. But the angel said, not even cancer will stand in your way. Right. Bring in a healing campaign. Now, what's happened now, though, and I thank God for medicine, but what's happened now is medicine has kind of caught up with disease. I mean, if you get cancer now, they pretty much cure you by God's grace. You understand what I'm saying? But here's my point. It's because man started crying out to God for something that they didn't have. That's what you and I are going to have to do. We're going to have to cry out to God for something we don't have. Right. We do not have a glorified body yet. Right. We don't have that yet. Right. Oh, yeah, potentially. The inside man's eternal. I want this guy eternal. Right. I don't know about y'all, but I'll be 60 in a couple of weeks. 20th century revival, 1910 to the 70s. American cities most notable, New York and Los Angeles. Why did Brother Branham go to Los Angeles a lot? West Coast. The industrial age is in full force, and Darwinism is reshaping our sense of the value of history. In other words, Darwinism starts coming in there in the early 1900s. So God sends a revival to repress all that. Because it's not true. Darwinism is not true. That's the devil talking. So Darwinism comes out, and then God sends a messenger, Billy Sunday. Much like the revivals before it, this period is noted for its large gatherings and the accusation of sin and proximity of people to the gates of hell as a result of their wayward lives. Who began it? Well, Billy Sunday did it first, but I believe Brother Branham stepped into the healing part. All right, roll it up, please. Who? Billy Sunday. Everybody know Billy Sunday? We've heard of his name. Billy Sunday, a professional baseball player. Did you know that? He was supposed to sign with like the New York Giants, and he was supposed to get like a contract that was unbelievable at that time, but he turned it down to preach the gospel because God told him his field was not the ball field. If you'll read about Billy Sunday, a professional baseball player turned preacher, is direct and powerful with a gospel message beginning in 1907. He carries the message to 1.5 million people around the country in month-long meetings. He preaches up until his death in 1935. Then remember, he died, and then Brother Branham gets his commission. Billy Graham enters the scene with vigor in 1949 with his Los Angeles Crusades, about the same time, you know, Brother Branham starts in 48. That catches the attention of the press. He goes on to hold more than 400 crusades in 185 countries, attracting arena-sized crowds and broadcasting many crusades on television. Then I'll add what we know is Brother Branham came up during that time and had a healing campaign like no other. But what happened? There's a lot of people fell into that and tried to copycat it. But remember, whatever, even in God's journals, they'll tell you that Brother Branham was the founder of the healing campaign. They don't doubt that. Now, they said later on he went off and, you know, got off the word. We know that's just a lie of the devil. But everybody puts him, I guess except this guy. But Sunday and Graham are two of many who see the fraying of culture, both before the wars and certainly after World War II. But I want to tell you something. As powerful as they were, they never changed anything. The world kept getting worse. Same way now. Brother Brown didn't change anything. He changed individual people. He didn't come to change a nation. He didn't come to shape a denomination. He didn't come to shape something so that we can all get in this big circle. He come to shape individuals for the glory of God. Not groups, individuals. They represented the preaching arm of revival. Francis Buckman, who began the Oxford Group, and Alcoholics Anonymous. Robert Pierce, who found World Vision and Samaritan's Purse, which now Samaritan's Purse is taken over by the Graham Foundation. Represent the social arm of revival. Graham's work is careful to work with local churches. The outgrowth of the movement is not isolated, but designated to be a stimulus for strong church participation and discipleship. But then you got Brother Branham, and I'll bring a quote a couple of Sundays from now, where Brother Branham says, he interviewed Billy Graham, said he'd go and have 30,000 converts and go back and couldn't find 35. Now, that's depressing. You know why? Because he wasn't getting them to Christ. He was getting them to a feeling or an emotion. Right. Brother Branham wasn't doing that. He was getting the people to Christ. Amen. There's a wealth of information out there about each of these five great revivals. Watch this. More than could be addressed in this blog post. God's work is not isolated, but sometimes we see it concentrated around specific places and people. Right. Like in the case above. Could God be working toward a revival now? No, except for us. Right. No. May our hearts and minds be open. May our posture be prayer. May our hope be in the living God who will seek and save those who are lost. May we be his instruments. Now, that's the guy, a nominal guy, that had a real good commentary about the revival. But he never mentioned the message of the hour. He never mentions William Branham. We know something he don't know. We know that God sent a prophet. He sent a prophet that began as a worldwide revival of a healing campaign. What about Brother Branham said? He said, I went to one place, what was it? And he prayed for people. And he'd get tired and lay down on a cot on the pulpit and then get back up and pray for 20,000 people. Go back and lay back down on a cot, not eat for 3 days. He gave his life for that. But you know what? That kept dwindling away, though. That went from 30,000 to 3,000, from 3,000 to 300, from 300 to 30. Why? Because he brought the word. He brought the word pure and unadulterated. Sure, he threw the net out there when the musicians come. He threw the net out there when he was preaching to Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals. But, buddy, I'm telling you, in 1962, when he preached the spoken word's original seed, he said, thousands of my friends will leave me. Why? Because he brought it down to one seed, and that was what the original was. Not some hybrid. He called them hybrid. He preached hybrid religion. Right. Listen, there's nothing wrong with denominational people. They're good people. There's some people that outshine us in the denominational world. But they can't have a word revival.
Exactly.
You and I are the only people that can have a word revival. Because we have the word.
Right.
Pure and unadulterated.
Right.
Let's stand to our feet. Listen, folks, we can't lose. There's going to revival be started by somebody.
Amen.
Individuals. Why can't it be us?
Right.
You, like I said, you'd say, well, I don't see anything. See? Believe.
Right.
Believe and then you will see.
Right.
Pray for a revival. Here we come up to a new year. We make all these New Year's resolutions. We eat ourselves to gain 20 pounds and then we make a resolution in January to lose that same 20 pounds. If we'd have just not gained it in the first place, we wouldn't have made that resolution. Isn't that right? Skinny guy that stands back there, 20 years old. Yeah. You could maybe not gain 20 pounds, but some of us look at food and gain 20 pounds as we get older. But the revival will start when you get serious. We're going to open the, we've opened the door to tell you how. We'll have a few more sermons on it. But if you'll notice, every revival started when people got tired of the status quo. They got tired of what they were living under during the time that they were there. Israel, John the Baptist came because it was a call out of the Old Testament to come into the new. There was a call for a group of people to come out of a Catholic church because they were tired of dealing with what? The Hail Marys and the, God sent Martin Luther. Didn't get them all the way out, but he sent Martin Luther to have a revival. But you and I, our revival is going to happen inside of you. But I hope and pray that it's like a pressure cooker. You know, you got them pressure cookers at home and you put everything in there and you turn the thing up and it starts boiling. You don't hear a whole lot, but the pressure's building. Amen? The pressure's building. And then all of a sudden, right at the top of that pressure cooker, there's a little thing that goes pss, 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 pss. Why? There's so much pressure built up on the inside, it's got to let a little bit out at a time. So I hope God lets a little bit out this next year coming up. Let's sing it. What number is it?
27.
There's a river of life flowing out from me. Make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open prison doors, set the captive free. out in the woods, and it was just bubbling up out of the ground. He said, oh, well. He said, is it because the deer come and drink that you bubble up? He said, no. Is it because the rabbit come and drink out of the water that makes you bubble up? He says, no. He said, well, what makes you bubble up? He said, oh, there's something down inside. And I can't hold it in, so I have to push it out. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open prison doors, set the captive free. Oh, there's a river of life. Sing it to me. Call me, spring up. Pray for our brother and sister that's going to be here still for a few weeks, and we ain't letting you go. I'm going to revoke your passport. Oh, Brother Nary and them are going to have to leave too, and God bless them. We love them. Thank you for having us a time of having our brothers and sisters here with us. And one day we'll not have to depart. And I want that brother to play that piano in the millennium. Because that's my desire. Amen? Now, we've got good piano players. Don't get me wrong. We got good piano players. But that was just a little different. That was a little Chilean. That was a little Chilean piano playing. And the guitar playing from you. Listen, God gives us talent. We need to use it. And I tell you, if you've never been to our Watch Night service, please come. And if you do, bring a song. Everybody gets the time to sing. Everybody has specials. We're going to have a preaching for, you know, about an hour or so, and then we'll sing for 2 or 3 hours right up until midnight. So bring a song with you and practice some. And I think we're going to take them bells next year. I've told Rachel we're going to take those bells and give them to everybody. We got enough for everybody in the whole sanctuary can have them. And then we can sit there and play the music. So God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of the Bride of Jesus Christ. And remember, be with your family this Wednesday and tell somebody God bless you. Listen, this is a rough time for a lot of people. A lot of people have lost loved ones and many different things, and this time of the year, when family gets together, there's always one missing somewhere. There might be some missing next year from our group, but God bless you. That's the way it is. Until we get this thing down, have a word revival, and we get out of here. But we're on a journey. And that journey is going to end in a body change. I promise you, because that's what the Bible says. There's no other promise. He said, I'll be with you, even in you, till the end of the age. And the age is coming up close. God bless you. If nothing else, we thank you. Like I said, Wednesday, there'll be no service Wednesday. There'll be no service Wednesday. There'll be no service the following Wednesday. Okay? But now we will have regular service next Sunday. And then Brother Dale can continue to announce after that. Brother Chris Long will be here about Saturday of next week. And we're going to go to Brother Oltig's, and then we'll have Watch Night service on Tuesday night starting at 8 o'clock. Sister Anna. Okay. Well, we're going to all just pray right here before we dismiss. Is that okay? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, your healing virtue is here, Lord. Lord, you never took it out of the Word. It's still there. That if you ask anything in your name, that you'll give it to us, Lord. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that you'll heal our sister and her condition that she has in her skin, Lord. Father God, we all have needs. We're a needy people. Lord, I pray that you'll just help her, Lord. And that you'll take that away and it won't come back anymore, Lord. Because you're a healer. You're my Redeemer. And you're our Savior, Lord. We pray that you just be with each one now on the highways home. Till we come back together, Lord, next week. And you, Father, that we will, that you'll keep us safe on the highways as we travel, Lord, to visit family and friends and family and friends coming in town. We pray that you just bless each one, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Start a revival.
Amen.
Revival.
Exclamation to all.
And the light.